I might tell you all this. How many of y'all think it's a bad idea to argue with the Lord? Yeah, it is. It's a real bad idea to argue with the Lord. The Lord kept dealing with me about teaching this message tonight, and I kept arguing with Him for quite a while, and I thought, well, now this is... It's not time yet to teach this message in this series that we're doing on boot camp. I kept thinking, well, it's not time yet. You'll understand why I'm saying that here in a few minutes. Because, well, you can just go ahead and look at the title of it. While those are still being passed around, it's called Endure Hardness as a Soldier. And, well, I kind of like, you know, that sounds like a good title for boot camp, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know? But really what this lesson is about is not the kind that you're probably immediately thinking of. How many of y'all know that when you set out to believe the Word, Mark chapter 4, Jesus said that persecutions and afflictions and the cares of this world, they come for one reason and one reason only, and that's to choke the Word out of you. And we all, you know, thank God in this generation, the truth has come forth. We know that God is not putting sickness on people to teach you stuff and all of that kind of thing, you know. He's not making you poor to keep you humble. You know, all we found out that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Amen. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So say this with me. The devil is bad.
The devil is bad.
God is good.
God is good.
The devil brings bad stuff.
The devil brings bad stuff.
God gives good stuff.
God gives good stuff.
See, that sounds so simple. That'll get you thrown out of a lot of churches.
True.
That right there will get you thrown out. You know? What do you mean? You know? You know, by now, 1997, we don't even remember the persecution that Oral Roberts went through in the late 40s and early 50s, when he started going around this country preaching, God is a good God. He said, something good is going to happen to you. And I mean, the religious community wanted to kill him. They wanted to tar and feather him. He was shot at, his tent burned, you know, threatened, run out of town. Same religious spirit that was alive in Jesus' day. Same religious spirit. Only now they went by more modern names, but it was still the same devils. Same religious devils. But thank God for men, the pioneers like Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, the ones that would not, you know, they would not shut up. See? And the kind of hardness we're talking about tonight is that kind. Not the kind that some of you, you know, like other nights we teach on things that that Satan tries to do directly, such as sickness, such as poverty, such as car accidents, such as things like that. We're talking tonight about the kind of persecution that comes through men, where the devil uses men to persecute you for your stand in the gospel. Okay? So let's start now. And who has the... Do we have any extra ones? Okay, here we go. So, who wants to be the keeper of the extras? Okay. Ma'am? Okay. We're going to take a short pause here for just a minute. Okay, we're back with the program here now. Looking at the your lesson page tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore... Now, wait a minute. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy traveled with Paul for years and years and years. At this point, Timothy is now, and I mention this here in a little bit, Timothy is now the pastor at the church at Ephesus, which is one of the largest churches in the known world at that time, especially. The figures I've read from different history books is they had about 150,000 members. You know, most mornings right now at the prayer center, we're having around 300 to 400, to give you a scale to go by there. So this is a big church. And can you imagine the pressures that's upon this Timothy? He's about 40 at this time, at this age, when this was written. Now, the Greek word translated endure hardness in that passage is kakopatheo. I guess that's kakopatheo.
Yes.
Hey, yes. From an expert. Which means, and this is what everyone's believing for, right? It means to undergo hardship.
Yes.
Be afflicted. and suffer trouble. How many of y'all have got your faith out on the line? God, give me some hardship and affliction and suffer trouble. Nobody, no hands are going up, see? But I see, now, that's the reason I was asking the Lord. I was going, Lord, right now, just to be honest with you, Lord, these people are not really suffering too much persecution for righteousness' sake. Right now, the kind of devils most of you are fighting, I'll be honest, just to be honest with you, are the daily bread, daily food, daily house type devils. And they're the least kind. Sorry. Well, they are. When Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6, he says, Why even take you thought? Why do you even think about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on? Now, see, Brandon back there, he's looking at me like with that same look that I used to look at preachers when they would say that. I'm going, hey, I'm the head of the house. I'm the one that's got to go out and make the rent money. I'm the one that's got to go out and pay these bills, you know. They're calling me Jack. They want the money, see. And when I used to read that in what Jesus said there, and then when I'd hear preachers preach on it, I could not understand it. And that's what, y'all, let's know our testimony. That's why when the Lord told us to go full time the way he told us, you know, I didn't obey him for 10 months. I could not figure out what he meant. Do y'all know what he meant? He meant exactly what he said. Later on in that same passage, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he plainly says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I used to go, what things? And if you look at the verse right before it, he says, it's the same things that the unbelievers, the Gentiles, they spend their whole life trying to get. Well, what are they trying to get? And I always say, longer cars and VCRs. Well, I mean, whatever it is you need, the same stuff that they're out trying, you know, they're spending their whole life working for mammon. God says, he plainly says, and he meant it, if you'll seek my kingdom first, find out once and for all what it is that I want you to be doing, and you set about doing that, my promise to you is, my Father, Jesus says, will provide the very same stuff to you that those Gentiles are out there spending their whole life trying to get. And he has been proving that to Sue and I for 2.5 years now. 2.5 years. And I think he picked us because we are so outstandingly ordinary. I mean, we are. We're just ordinary people. Y'all know that. We're just ordinary folks. If he'll do it, I mean, I got more faults than a lot of y'all in here. You know, if he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you, dear God. You know? Isn't that right? If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for you. I mean, anybody that knows us knows we're not special. Okay. But anyway, I was talking to the Lord. I was saying, Lord, why do you want me to teach this about persecution? Because now we're talking about religious persecution. We're talking about where people come to you. See, I'm kind of leading into this. The kind of I want you to make sure we understand what the subject is. This is the kind of persecution. Stand up for a minute. You're Paul. Who can be the devil? David? Okay, now here's Paul. He's come into Lystra. This is going to be a big rock, okay? He's come into Lystra, and Paul has come to town.
I don't want
to
be Paul.
Yeah. Paul has come to town, and he's saying, listen up, all you Lystrites. I've come to tell you that Jesus is Lord. All of your gods are false, and I'm telling you, if you don't repent and be born again, you're all going to hell. This right here is the chief man of the temple where they have been worshiping whatever god they were worshiping before Paul came to town. Now lift up your big rock, and he says to Paul, if you don't quit preaching that, me and about 20 of my buddies, we're going to kill you. And then Paul, boy, Paul is silent, isn't he? And Paul says, be that as it may, my commission is to come to town to tell you that there is no other God but one. He has sent His Son to pay the price for your sin.
Yes.
And if you don't receive, if you receive Him, you can live forever with God, and all the penalty will be paid. And if you don't, you're all going to fry. You know? You know? And so now, the head of the temple and about 20 of his others, they all got big rocks. And this time they actually take Paul. Here comes some here. Now they actually take Paul outside. Do y'all know what happened?
He got stoned.
They stoned him. It says
and
they thought he was dead. Now the Bible, y'all can sit down there. At least they thought he was dead. It says they left him for dead. Now it doesn't really tell us whether he was or not. I personally think they did. But anyway, I can't prove that, so that's just my opinion. But it was bad enough where they thought he was dead. It says they left him for dead. And the believers, that would be Timothy and several others who were with Paul, once that crowd left, now they stood around him. Here he is, crumpled, a mashed. Can you imagine what somebody would look like after having been stoned to death? Bleeding, gashes. It had to be a pitiful sight. And he looks dead. Whether he is or not, I don't know, but he sure looks dead. They thought he was dead. And they form a circle, and they pray. God raises Paul up. And do y'all know what Paul now did? What did Paul do? Go to the magistrates and start suing all of these people? Did he run for cover? Did he run away? Do y'all know what he did? He went right back into Lystra and says, perhaps you didn't hear me the first time. And he preaches to them. He says, I'm not done with my message. You understand me? Now, that kind of persecution is the kind we're talking about. And I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, none of these people are suffering. Myself, I'm not suffering that level of persecution at this moment. And what he told me, he says, you better get ready. You better get them ready. Now, what do y'all think? This revival that we're praying in down at the church, when that really starts happening, and to the point that it starts hitting the airwaves, and the Channel 2, Channel 6, Channel 8 are here, Tom Brokaw's here, whoever comes to the Oprah, whoever, and it starts hitting the airwaves, and they start televising some of these services like, all homosexuals go to hell unless they repent. Now, what do y'all think? Is there going to be any persecution?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they'll get a bunch of homosexuals and people who believe in that, and they'll surround the church and catch you when you're going in or coming out. They've done it before.
That's right.
Always.
Now, Aaron said, some of us have guns, and that's the reason for this lesson tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah.
Go, Aaron.
Hallelujah. Okay, but there's going to be picket signs. It's going to make all these people, all these religious leaders in town who have been saying for decades that miracles have passed away, that God doesn't open blind eyes anymore, that God doesn't get little kids out of wheelchairs. Now, when they start seeing it, you would think they would think that was wonderful. No, it's not going to be wonderful. It's going to make them mad, just like it made the religious leaders mad in Jesus' day. And the reason it's going to make them mad is because their sheep are going to start coming here.
Right. Amen.
Now, that's what it's about. That's what it's about,
the
see.
Persecution comes right after.
That's right. It's going to be just like in Jesus' day, this most serious persecution was never from the sinners. The persecution came from the religious crowd. Okay? Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. All right, so going back to this now. The Greek word see, y'all have, I know none of y'all are believing for hardship, affliction, and trouble. Trouble is, how many are believing for revival? And now we got the hands going up. I got news for you. With the revival comes hardship, affliction, and persecution. So that's why the Lord wanted this message to come tonight. Now, history tells us that this is the last letter, 2 Timothy. It's the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote before he was executed by Nero in Rome. He was writing it from his prison cell, and he was fully aware that Timothy would never see his face again. And that Timothy would never hear Paul's voice again. Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Now, in Paul's mind, now think about it. This is the last, Paul knows, this is the last instructions he's ever going to be able to give to Timothy. Timothy represents the next generation who's going to pick up the banner after Paul's beheaded the following day, or, you know, soon. Don't you think he, you know, Paul put everything he could into this letter? He put into this letter his last statement. The thing that would have to carry Timothy for the rest of his life, Paul put in this. Okay? Now, with that in mind, in Paul's mind, it was imperative that this letter strengthen the resolve of Timothy in order for him to carry the banner of Jesus Christ to the next generation. Timothy was aware that Paul had been imprisoned and was going to be executed. And the whole reason Paul is writing him this letter is because he knew Timothy was starting to get into fear. He said, "Dear God, if they can execute Paul." I mean, he traveled with Paul. He says, "If they're going to execute Paul, what about me?" Okay? And a spirit of fear was trying to grip Timothy's heart. Now, that's why Paul said to him that famous verse in 2 Timothy 1, 7-8. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed." Everyone say ashamed.
Ashamed.
"Of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." Now see, we read that and it doesn't hit home with us. What if they arrest Pastor Dave? What if they arrest him on some trumped up charges of racism or something? They'll come up with something. Okay? Now, what if they arrest him and he's in jail and y'all are going out? Wait a minute. If they can get Pastor Dave, what about me? Now, that's the kind of thing we're talking about, see? And this letter is to us as much as it was to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed. I did what I was supposed to be doing, and everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Don't you be ashamed."
Mm-hmm.
"Neither don't be ashamed of the gospel, and don't be ashamed of me." Don't you think that's interesting that he put that in there? "Don't you be ashamed just because I'm in this prison." Hallelujah. Bet you guys are glad you came tonight. You wanted one of them prosperity messages, didn't you? This is a prosperity message. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." Now get this. "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You might say, "Gary, well, wait a minute. I'm not a pastor of a church. I'm not an apostle. I'm just a sheep. I'm just a believer, you know. I'm not supposed to be a partaker of afflictions, am I? Am I, Gary? Am I? Come on, Gary." In the same letter, just a little further down, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You say, "But Brother Gary, I'm not suffering any persecution." I wouldn't be bragging about that too loud. Just makes us wonder, how godly are you living? Me too. Jesus said, beware when all men speak well of you. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, see, what God's been doing, if I'm understanding right, what's going on with this revival, God has the prayer center kind of tucked away in a corner of town. Okay? And he's had us over here really being protected. Some people say, "Well, you know, we've been praying all these years and there's no more people here than that." Well, that's all by design. God is laying a foundation of people who are going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, able to endure hardness for the gospel. So by the time this thing breaks forth on the scene, we've got some people here that they love not their lives unto death. I should have put this verse on down here. A little later on in the same passage, Paul says to him, And I didn't understand it. It seemed almost like he was changing the subject. But just shortly after he said that about not having a spirit of fear, he started praising Jesus, and he says, death is abolished. In other words, it finally dawned on me what he was saying. Timothy, the worst they can do is kill you. And you get to be with Jesus forever in glory, Timothy. I mean, that's the worst they can do. I mean, there is no death for you, Timothy. Y'all remember the night that we were confessing that one? I love that one. It says, my eternal life with Jesus has already begun. See, most of us are thinking that when we die, our eternal life starts. No, your eternal life started the day you received Jesus. You're already going to live forever. You've already done all the dying you're ever going to do. Now, someday you're going to slip this body off like a glove. And the instant you do, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it again. I love it. Say, my eternal life.
My eternal life
with Jesus has already begun. I am already
living forever.
I've done all the dying
I'm ever going to do.
I'll slip my body off
someday.
Then I'll be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So Timothy, he's telling Timothy, now what are you being afraid of? You're going to get to be with Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know, you'd be out of this sin-sick world now? That's the worst they can do, Timothy. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Okay. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
It says in the Mark chapter, we shall be persecuted for his name.
That's right. In fact, I've got that on here just a little further down.
Well, I know.
You got the same spirit over there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
Another scripture, to live is Christ and deny is gain.
Yeah. See, in the letter to the Philippians, Paul was, he was debating it then. He thought, well, I'm having a hard time deciding here. You know, to die and be with Christ would be far better. But for your sakes, it's better that I stay here. So, reluctantly almost, I guess I'll stay here for you guys. Man, he was deciding then. I guess I'll stay. But now he knew, you know, the Lord had shown him, my time is up. It's over. This is the letter where he says, I've finished my course. I've fought the good fight, you know.
Have you got the right to butt in when you say something?
Well, if you keep doing that, I'll never get it all said.
But I was going to say that sweet lady said we have guns, and I was going to, in that rebuttal question, say she better have the Holy Ghost gun. The other ones won't work.
Yeah, she'll know by the end of this. That's what it's all about. She knew it anyway. Yeah, she knew it. She knew it anyway. Hallelujah. She was just making a joke. But anyway. Hallelujah. But anyway, he says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All includes you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in the context of this whole letter, the kind of affliction and persecution that Paul is talking about is the kind that comes through people.
Now,
tonight, we're not talking about sickness, we're not talking about poverty, we're not talking about car wrecks, we're not talking about that kind of stuff. We've taught on that other nights, we'll teach on that again. We're zeroing in tonight on the kind where the devil uses people to persecute you, and specifically because you witness for Christ or you take your stand for Jesus. Okay? You understand what we're talking about now? Especially the sort of people that resist the word of faith and are always more interested in arguing over foolish questions.
That's right.
Than they are in serving Christ.
Amen.
Now, here is the hard part when you're dealing with people like that. To continue to speak the truth to them in love without arguing with them.
Yes.
How many of y'all have tried that?
Yeah.
I'm still only getting better at it. I used to be horrible. Me and my Baptist relatives, glory to God, you know. When I found out that I'd been lied to for all those years, and the next time I was down there amongst all my Baptist, I mean, my Baptist relatives are from Shawnee. That's where Oklahoma Baptist University is. We're talking the biggest Baptist religious spirit in the state, okay? And here I come. Bless God. Jesus heals, you know. I'm telling you, Jesus does miracles, and he'll do them right now. And boy, I mean, the war was on, you know. Now, how many of y'all heard that message I taught the other night on the difference between Paul's first preaching and Peter's? See, I was like Saul. I was going in, bless God, I was preaching boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, there wasn't nobody getting saved. There wasn't nobody getting edified. But I sure was creating war in the church, okay? And I basically had to go home and pray, you know, for years until, you know, the Holy Ghost could work some stuff in me where now I can deal with them without arguing. Because the tendency is when somebody, you know, the natural human reaction, again, let's see, and again I saw why the Lord wanted to do this tonight. Y'all remember the lesson last Thursday? Forgiveness is your big gun. And then once I saw what he was doing here, I went, oh, of course. Because forgiveness is a big part of being able to do this. You have to understand these people are ignorant. That, not stupid. They're ignorant. They don't know the truth. That's why Jesus from the cross said, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They really didn't know what they were doing. I mean, they knew they were crucifying him. But they didn't know they were working for the devil. They didn't know that. Anyway. Hallelujah. Now that is hard, trying to continue to speak the truth to these people, and I mean they're railing on you, they're calling you everything but saved, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to try and continue to minister to them, give them the truth. I mean, you cannot back off your witness, that's for sure, but to give them the truth without arguing. Now notice this. Now, okay, and you might think, well, this isn't very important. Remember, this is Paul's last instructions to Timothy. He wants Timothy's ministry to survive because he wants the gospel to survive. How important do you think this is? You think Paul put any unimportant stuff in this letter? This is important, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. How many of y'all want to be servants of the Lord? Amen. The servant of the Lord must not strive. That word strive is just what you think it means. Get in strife and arguments and, you know, red-faced and shouting at each other. Okay? That's what it means. But, now get this, but be gentle. Gentle. Everyone say gentle.
Gentle.
Unto all men. Now, right now, I'm going to repent because I'll tell you, I was not very gentle with my Baptist relatives. Okay? Gentle was not the word you would have used had you heard that discussion. You know? Why don't you guys just believe the gospel? What's wrong with you? You know? Well, these preachers been lying to me for 20 years. You know? You know? I was not gentle. Not gentle. But look what it says. You must not strive, servant of the Lord, but be gentle unto how many men? Apt to teach, patient. Now that word patient would be better translated sameness. Be the same all the time. Don't let them, if that religious spirit in them can get you arguing, then that religious spirit did what it was supposed to do. Okay, that's what it was trying to do all the time, was hook your flesh. Okay, but apt to teach, patient, in meekness. And I was not doing it in meekness either. Okay. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. See? If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his will. Now, see, for years I misread that verse. I thought I was supposed to get them out of the snare of the devil.
No.
I thought that's what it said, you know. I thought, well, God bless God, he wants to send me down there. puff up. Send me down there and bless God, I'll get these folks delivered. Hallelujah. Now, is that what your Bible says?
No.
Now, it says, no, I'm supposed to go down there in a spirit of meekness and be gentle with them. And no matter how bad they rail on me, I endure it. See, look up here at the very first scripture. That thou therefore endure hardness. Whose hardness? Their hardness to me. I got to endure that. I got to endure that hardness. See, because if I don't, well, I'm going to say this in a minute. If I don't endure it, if I react the way that they're trying to get me to react, my witness is over with them. I said, well, he's no different. He's got nothing. He's just a flesh creature, as Dave would say. You know, you little flesh creature. Now notice, when Paul says to be gentle unto all men, in the context here, he is saying to be gentle even to those who are persecuting you. You're never going to help people by beating them over the head with the gospel. That's exactly what I was doing. I did that one time with Sue to the point I threw my Bible at her. And we're talking this same Bible. It's a big one. I did. I threw it at her. She wouldn't go to church. It made me mad. Now, I was showing her the love of God, wasn't I? You think the devil was not sitting back laughing at that whole deal? This self-righteous, pompous fool. I've got this boy right where I want him. You know? That'll make Sue want the gospel, uh-huh. That'll show her the love of God. Yeah, he's changed, uh-huh. Yeah. That'll make everybody want to be like Gary, uh-huh. Yeah, sure. Now, see, that's what those same devils are trying to stir you up. They're trying to stir you up to react in the flesh. Yes, ma'am.
You mean even when you're ministering, I'm talking about when you're preaching, I'm not responsible whether or not these people receive this stuff.
That's
you
right.
Just teach the stuff in love, the truth.
That's right.
My God, they're responsible
that's
for
right.
it.
I said
I'm
last...
I'm sorry, I just went on.
Yeah, yeah. It'll set you free. Absolutely.
I'm not responsible for
it. Hey.
No, but you have no idea how that just hit me.
Yeah, I do, too. Because, see, that revelation... Angie, that revelation right there will save you from burnout.
Amen.
That's what saves you from burnout. See, I told y'all last week, as far as this Bible study is concerned, my responsibility ends at 9 o'clock. My job is to pray before y'all get here, study, to show myself approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, and to deliver it in love. And if I have, thank God we got a friendly group, but if I had hecklers or I had somebody really opposing me, I've had that before, where they actually opposed you right then. You didn't wait. They opposed you now. You know? And I'm not saying I handled it then. I hope I'll handle it better now. But to still yet, in a spirit of meekness, just deliver the truth. Just deliver the truth, that's all. In a spirit of meekness, apt to teach, stay the same. Stay the same. Now, it's up to them. See, that's what Angie's getting here. This is what she got. Now look at that verse again. Because what you're trying to accomplish is that they, that God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And if they will do that, if they'll receive the truth, then they themselves will recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Mm-hmm. It's not my job to recover them. Amen. You got it? Hallelujah. Ding, hallelujah. Oh, that sets you free. Because otherwise you get into burnout. You get to thinking, well, I've just got to do this. I've just got to do this, you know. It's up to me. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're not the good shepherd, first off. You're not Lord. Jesus is. Okay? And it's not your job to deliver them. They have a deliverer already.
Amen.
All we're trying to do is put them in touch with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, now that's why Jesus, while we're on that, since He's really feeding on that, that's why Jesus, when He sent them out two by two, He says, you go into these towns. Now, I says, I do want you to fully preach the gospel. I want you to heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead. Now, if they still won't receive the gospel, now, when you leave there, just shake the dust off your shoes and go to the next town. Okay? It still wasn't to rail on them or anything, but basically you're saying we did everything we could. Our responsibility, we're not carrying even the dust of this place with us. We're free from the blood of these men. See, that's what Paul said. He says, I am free from the blood of all men. Why? Because I have fully proclaimed the gospel. He did his job. That's his job. Now, if they didn't receive it, don't even take any of the dust of their city with you. Go on to the next city. Don't carry any of that burden with you. Your job's over. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah.
Isn't this what you said earlier when we they love not their life
unto death
in the Revelation. Isn't this when he said, pick up your cross and follow me.
Yes.
That God gives us in this battle as we go. Faith goes up, but faith goes also deeper. It's like deep-rooted.
Yes.
That when we in this battle don't never give up, go deeper and deeper, receive from God the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then First Peter says, I am holy, be ye holy also. That is a constant battle, moment
absolutely
by moment.
Yeah.
But when God sees our heart in our battle, that we stay steadfast, he is the one who gives the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then we don't really have to fear nothing, nor anything.
That's right. Absolutely. She preached the message. Glory to God. That's it. Hallelujah. Ellie's got it. What country are you from?
Switzerland.
For the national audience, this is Ellie from Switzerland. Hallelujah.
Somewhere over there.
Somewhere over there. Hallelujah. Over there. Over there. Hallelujah. Now you know why I don't sing. Hallelujah.
See, that's the glory of the Lord, because he is Lord not only here or there. He's holding the universe in his hand.
He's got the whole world.
He gathers up his sheep and separates the sheep from the goats.
That's
so
right.
We all want to be sheep.
Amen. Everyone who wants to be sheep, raise your hand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I won't have you bad. Well, some of them are anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to read that one sentence again there. You're never going to help people by beating them over the head with the gospel. Those that are persecuting you are all... See, the thing you got to understand, those that are persecuting you are already in the snare of the devil. They're already in it. Your job is to help them see the truth so that they can repent and recover themselves out of the devil's snare. See, it's really, when it comes right down to it, it's up to them. Jesus said, you go preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe shall be saved. And those that don't, they'll be damned. It's only, you know, your job is to go preach. The believing is up to them. Hallelujah. Okay. People of the world, brackets, and religious people, I should have put especially religious people, expect you to react just like they would if they were persecuted. It is when you do not retaliate that you take them by surprise. They don't understand that, see? It affects them way down deep, whether they admit it at first or not. See, if they come and they do you ugly, what's that old deal? You know, my favorite thing? You're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. They come up and for no good reason at all, they just start railing on you. They're trying. They're saying, come on, take your best shot. Come on, you know, see? We don't believe in your Jesus. Get out of town. Or like that example we did a while ago, if you don't quit preaching that, we are going to just flat kill you, you know? And they're expecting you to react like they would in that same situation. And when you don't, that's when they're going, wait a minute. Now, they may not admit it right then, but I'm telling you that will dog their tracks the rest of their life. They'll always be wondering, what kind of human being was that? I wonder what that Jesus was he was talking about, see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kept talking about a Christ within him. I wonder what he meant. Of course, God, you know, if they have those questions, God will be sure and send laborers across their path.
That's right.
They'll wind up getting born again. You may never see the fruit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you lay down your life, your rights, your defense for the gospel's sake. See, the whole point, the reason that, and Dave, thank God for him, there are so many of the parables I did not understand until I started coming to the prayer center. And they are not understandable if you read them with you on your mind. They only become understandable when you start getting the heart of Jesus in you and realize, oh, it's that wicked person that's on Jesus' mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one he's trying to rescue. You know, we can't figure him out because that guy bilked me out of $50,000 and I'm interested in getting my $50,000. And what Jesus is interested in is getting the soul of that guy that cheated you.
Amen.
He's got plenty of money. Jesus does. He can get the $50,000 to you. That's not a problem, or 100 or a million or whatever. But anyhow, the whole point is to start thinking from his, Jesus's perspective. What's on his mind? People are persecuting you, and the reason you would react defensively, you've got you on your mind. The reason that you wouldn't, you've got them on your mind. Now, see, I did not understand that when I was railing on my Baptist relatives. In my ignorance and my self-righteousness, I was thinking I had a mandate from God. Y'all ever see the Blues Brothers movie? You're on a mission from God, you know? You know, we're on a mission from God. And so I thought it was my job to go in there on my white stallion with the banner of Jesus flying overhead, wailing with my two-edged sword and cut these pagans to ribbons, you know. You know. And, we're going to have that in the millennium. But see, right now, Adam's lease has not run out. Do y'all remember? I was just reading again this week. I'll just take a chance that we got time for this. Okay, y'all know that King Saul in the Old Testament was the first king of Israel. Through several, he kept disobeying God, and finally he disobeyed God to the point that the prophet Samuel came to him and he said, "All right, God's taken away the kingdom from you, and he's going to anoint another one who is better than you." Okay? And Samuel went, and I'm skipping over a lot of stuff, but Samuel went by the direction of God and anointed David, who at that moment was a shepherd boy, king of Israel. And the Bible says when he did that, the Holy Spirit left Saul. That means the anointing left King Saul and rested on David from that time forward. Now, types. You know, everything in the Old Testament is types and shadows. King Saul represents Adam. He was the first king. He was the first anointed. Through his disobedience, he lost it. God has now anointed another king. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we're living in right now is that period of time where King Saul is still alive. David is still alive. And how many of you all know King Saul tried to kill King David? Two different times it happened where King Saul accidentally, he didn't intend to do it, he wound up in a position where David could easily have killed him. He was asleep. King Saul was asleep in a cave, didn't know that David and all of his mighty men were in that same cave. And they could have easily killed him. Both times, David says, "I will not touch God's anointed." See? Now that's the dispensation we're living in right now. The anointing, Adam and all of the people out there that are not believers, they are represented by King Saul. They have no anointing. They have no contact with God. They really have no dominion over the devil. But temporally on this earth, have me y'all notice, they got control of most of the stuff. You know, and they persecute the church, the true church, don't they? Okay? They wish we were out of here so they could sin all they want to and nobody ever tell them anything about it. Okay? And we're in a position just like David. Okay? Again, all of the people that are unborn again on this planet right now, they are represented like King Saul. They do not have the anointing of God. The anointing has been taken from Adam and all of his descendants. And a new king has been anointed. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. And all of us, we're like his mighty men. Okay? You know? And it's our king that has the anointing. It's us that has the anointing. But I don't care what the situation is. You are not allowed to hurt them. It's them that God is trying to save. He's already got you. See, our problem is every time we get into a situation... Every time we get into a situation, we start having us on our minds. See? We start to defend ourselves. And, you know, how's that Dave puts it? He says, "Well, they demoted me from my self-appointed exalted place." You know? And I've got to do whatever I can to re-exalt myself. Well, that's totally got you on your mind, isn't it? See? And who does Jesus have on his mind? That one that's persecuting you. Okay, you got it? So we're like King David's. We're the King David's. And it doesn't matter if in a business deal or any time, maybe you've got them. You know, I mean, it just works out where, I mean, you could easily just destroy them financially or some other way. Do you do it?
No.
No, you don't do it. They're the ones that Jesus is trying to use you to get.
Amen.
You're the light of the world. If they can't see Christ in you, who are they going to follow? We're trying to lead them to the light.
Yes.
by the light that's in us.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Where are we at here? Where, or as I said, where was we? Hallelujah. Okay, people of this world and religious people expect you to react just like they would if they were persecuted. It's when you do not retaliate that you take them by surprise. They don't understand that. It affects them way down deep, whether they admit it or not at first. Now, Paul told Timothy to remember his example. He said, now, Timothy, you've traveled with me. You've worked with me. You saw how I did it. Now, don't forget. Use my life as an example. And here it is, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, which means love, my patience, which means steadfastness, I don't change, my persecutions, my afflictions, all those things which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. Now, Lystra is the place where they stoned him to death. Timothy was there. What persecutions I endured. Now, look up at the top of the page, the very first scripture. Thou, therefore, Thursday night Bible study, endure hardness. Just flat endure it. Just flat endure it. Take it on the chin. Bite the bullet. Any other metaphors we could think of? You know? He's saying endure it. And that's what he means. Endure it. But out of them... Now here's how you can endure it. Here's how. Here's the secret. The whole secret of how you can. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. See, if you won't defend yourself, you've got one who defends you. Now, it's your choice. You think you're pretty big and bad? You can defend yourself. But myself, I don't think I'm as big and bad as the Holy Ghost. I'd rather have the Lord defending me. I mean, when Paul was persecuted, when it wasn't his time, his course was not over yet, and they had him in Philippian jail. Paul didn't resist. What did him and Silas was with him that time? What did they do at midnight? Were they sending for lawyers and they're going to sue and they're going to do all of this? They sang praises. They sang hymns at midnight.
In sewage too.
And they're probably going, "Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus." And or whatever hymn they had at the time. But they sang, or they might have been singing. Here's what I'd have been singing. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Wouldn't you? Now, what did their defender do? I mean, are you guys able to cause earthquakes? This is New Testament. This is our dispensation. And they started praising God at midnight, and all they'd done was cast a devil out of a girl. Oh, we don't want any casting out devils in our church. No, we're too dignified for that. No, Jesus said, those that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils.
Amen.
Your job is to cast out every devil you come across. Hallelujah. And if they put you in jail for it, then you sing praises at midnight. You don't retaliate. You don't fight with them. You don't argue with them. At midnight. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad Jesus sent me. And if God has to, He'll send an earthquake. And shake all the bars and all the prisoners will go free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's a God. He hasn't changed. That's New Testament. That's our dispensation now. He sent earthquakes in. It'd be good if we got some shaking going on in this place. Hallelujah. I'm glad right now he shakes Andy once in a while, where Andy will take off. But we'll think about what it's going to be when he starts shaking the whole building. Why do you think they want to get it fixed? Hallelujah. We got to get it fixed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, think about this. In all of Paul's persecutions, and boy, you can read about them all the way through the book of Acts. Every shipwrecks, I mean, everything that you can think of. And all the people that stoned him, he said, I forget how many times he was lashed, you know, and then they broke all the bones in his feet with rods, and I mean, five times, okay, just over and over. And think about this, we don't have even one record, not once, that Paul ever physically defended himself. Now, he escaped a couple of times. They let him down by a basket through a wall, so did David. He would get away if he could, okay? But never did Paul defend himself. He never retaliated in revenge or tried to, quote, get even. Y'all remember last week's lesson?
Right.
Don't get even. You know, forgiveness is your big gun. All right? Paul never did anything to get back with any of his persecutors.
Amen.
Not even those who stoned him to death. Kaylin likes this doll. Hallelujah. How old is Kaylin?
15 months.
15 months for benefit of the tape. Cutest kid. I'm telling you. She's a better preacher than I am. Hallelujah. She's so cute. Anyway, Paul did not trust in his own strength nor his own ability to defend himself. Paul knew that he had one who defended him. You notice he said that Paul knew where his deliverance come from.
Yeah.
The Lord delivered me. When you are slandered, people, when you're slandered, ridiculed, or even threatened, like a while ago, that dramatization we did, if they threaten you because of your witness of Jesus Christ, never defend yourself.
Amen.
Say this after me.
I never defend
myself.
Myself.
Why should I?
When I have one.
Who defends me.
Amen.
Boy, that's good. That's why Jesus said, resist not evil. Don't you do it. Now, does that mean we're supposed to just let evil things happen? No. What he's saying is when they come and persecute you, take it in context. When they're coming, they're persecuting you. They say, you quit preaching that or we're going to put you in jail. You just got to keep preaching it anyway. See? You keep preaching it anyway. In love, though. Not arguing. Not in strife. You preach it in love. So, well, you can do what you want, but I'm still going to have to stay with the truth.
Yes.
Jesus is Lord. I'm telling you. He's the only God. He's the only way to the Father. It's Him or perish.
Yes.
See? And they say, I'm telling you, if you don't quit saying that, we're going to kill you. Do you understand me? Your life is over. Say, hey, I've already done all the dying I'm ever going to do. I'm already living forever. I don't fear those that can only kill the body and after that have no more they can do. I fear him who after he's killed has the power to cast into hell. You guys better fear him. See? Hallelujah. In love, you know. Yeah, that was in love. It was. You're telling them the truth. You're trying to save them from hell. You know? Okay. We read that. Be like Paul and trust in the Lord to deliver you. And he will deliver you too. Every single time. All the way until you have finished your course. Now when you're done, it's time to go home. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. I'm done. I've done everything that he's ever asked me to do. For me to stay here now would be useless. And you got to remember, Paul was single. He didn't have a family. There was no reason for him to stay now. His job was finished. The Lord had let him know. He said, well, I'm out of here. I'm done. Okay. Hallelujah. And I don't normally take quotes from the Living Bible, but this one is just so good, I couldn't resist it. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. It's just so clear and it's right. Thursday night Bible study, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, just as I do. And as Christ's soldier, do not let yourself become tied up in worldly affairs, for then you cannot satisfy the one who has enlisted you in his army. Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work. And what we've been talking about tonight is the Lord's rules for overcoming persecution. This is the way you do it. Okay? Follow the Lord's rules for doing his work. Just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. See, you can do it another way like I was doing down there. Let's say that I did it that way and I finally got one of them to repent or something, my Baptist relatives, you know, or something. Do you know that's wood, hay, and stubble because of the way I did it?
Yeah.
See, it's not the Lord's way. You're disqualified unless you do it the Lord's way. Okay? And that goes back to whatever night I said, man is not allowed to make up his own gospel. This is God's gospel. This is a Lord check. Who is Lord?
Jesus!
Okay, He tells us how to do it, and our job is to do it that way.
That's right.
Okay? That's why Paul wrote this. He says, follow the Lord's rules for doing His work. Notice, it's His work.
That's right.
Not your work, it's His work.
Amen.
See, Angie? It's His work. Just follow the rules. Now, a lot of people don't follow the rules, and they carry the burden from city to city, meeting to meeting, until finally, man is not designed to carry that.
But this is why the healing as well, I'm talking about somebody comes up on a line.
Absolutely, it does.
I mean, it's their responsibility really to believe for their healing, is it not?
It's our responsibility also, though, to have more working in us than working right now. But still, you cannot take condemnation there. If you do that, that's going to lead to burnout, too. The only cure for that, Angie, is what Pastor Dave does all the time. It's back to the prayer closet. We just don't understand it yet. If we did, it'd be operating to us. True? So there's no condemnation. The thing to do is just back to the prayer closet. That's all. Okay. Let me get back to this. Follow the Lord's rules for doing His work. Just as an athlete either follows the rules or is disqualified and wins no prize. Here's another example. Work hard like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. Now see, what do we need to have on our minds? The crop. The people. That's what we're after, is the people. Not the fact whether they like you, whether they don't like you. What's that got to do with it?
That's right.
We've got to get that out of our minds. What's important is the crop. That's what Jesus died for, is these souls out there. And once we sell out to that, that is seeking first His kingdom. See? Once you start thinking that way with people on your mind. I love what the way Norville... How many got to go to Norville's meeting Wednesday morning?
Yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. You know, I just thought it was wonderful. But he was saying, man, he said, excuse me, if you don't learn to obey God and serve God, and you serve God by helping people, you're helping them get saved. If they're poor, you give them some money. If they're naked, you give them some clothes. You got to help people, he said. If you want to prosper in God, you got to help people.
Amen.
You know, just get it real plain down to earth here, you know. Well, in what we're talking about tonight, if you're going to help these people who right now are persecuting you, that means they're in the devil's snare, then you're going to have to function in a way that helps them, not you.
Amen.
God will take care of you if you'll do that. Hallelujah. He'll shake the prison bars if He has to.
Amen.
Until your course is done, until you finish your course. Yes, sir.
Other Christians persecuting you can be in the devil's snare.
Huh?
Other Christians persecuting another Christian can be in the devil's snare.
Okay, the question is, other Christians persecuting you. Now remember, this is for righteousness' sake. I don't know exactly what Sean has in mind. This is what we're talking about tonight in the context of this letter, is when you're being persecuted for saying things like, Jesus is a miracle worker and He will do a miracle now. Or you say things like, Jesus is a healer and He will heal you now. Or you say things like, Jesus is the only way to the Father, Mr. Buddhist.
What if you haven't said a word?
Well, now there's... we have to get into 1 and 2 Peter on that. That's another night. Okay? We're not talking... And by the way, sometimes people persecute me and they've got some justification for it. Because I'm not very perfect.
Oh.
I know. That's a shock, I know. No.
That's why the field says the harvest... Field, it's right.
Exactly.
You are the laborers, because we are just a human bundle unless we have been so deep rooted. Like, I'm buttoning up my mouth so you get your work in.
You've done really well, Ella. You've done really well.
They have those redwood trees, and I drove through one day just to see if it was really the truth.
Uh-huh.
But those redwood trees are all intertwined with their roots, they're flat. But when the storm comes, they're all intertwined, one holds the other one up. And I think sometimes this is where the church feels, instead intertwining each other, holding the other one up, they're fighting each other.
That's right, exactly.
And that's why there's only a few are the laborers.
That's right.
So we got a job ahead of us.
That's right. But see, what came to her mind when she was hearing this was the fields are white for harvest. And that's what this is talking about. It says, work hard like a farmer who gets paid well if he raises a large crop. Jesus is interested in those fields that are white for the harvest, see? And there's more persecutors than there are the ones walking in truth. See? Okay. And he says, think over these three illustrations and may the Lord help you to understand how they apply to you. Isn't that good?
Amen.
All right, confession time. We've got about 20 minutes. You ready? Everyone stand up. Is everyone okay? You need to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Get some air. Hallelujah. I can't get up. Well, those that can do. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walk in love back here. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, let's just do it here for a few minutes. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have power.
I have power.
I have love.
I have love.
And I have a sound mind.
I have a sound mind.
I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now y'all got to, you know, if we're going to do this, you got to wait for me here, okay? By the way, before we do that one again, that word good, if you look it up, says that, you know, endure hardness as a good soldier, it really means worthy. Worthy soldier. Isn't that good? Says, okay. I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I endure hardness.
I endure hardness.
I am the Lord's servant.
I am the Lord's servant.
I do not argue with people.
I do not argue with people.
I am gentle to all people.
I am gentle to all people.
As I teach them the truth.
As I teach them the truth.
I am always the same.
I am always the same.
In meekness I instruct those.
In meekness I instruct those.
That oppose themselves.
That oppose themselves.
My goal is that they will see the truth.
My goal is that they will see the truth.
And repent.
And repent.
My goal is to help them.
My goal is to help them.
Be free.
Be free.
From the snare of the devil.
From the snare of the devil.
That's why I endure.
That's why I endure.
Their persecutions to me.
Their persecutions to me.
Hallelujah. I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I am His witness to the world.
I am His witness to the world.
I'm not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I'm not surprised when I'm persecuted.
Now, sis, stop for a minute. I saw a lot of faces go, what? What? Now, the Bible says all who live godly, all who live godly will suffer persecution. We need to get past that surprise thing. See? That's part of it. See, because the devil catches you by surprise. Well, what was that Nelson used to say? I weren't expecting that. Well, you need to start expecting it. Now, I don't say believe for it, but I'm just saying the Bible says it's coming. How many of y'all believe the Lord is coming back, whether you believe it or not?
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those that fits in that category. Honey, you don't have to use your faith for this. Persecution is coming, honey. I'm telling you now. You live godly, it's coming. Hallelujah. Say, I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I am His witness to the world.
I am His witness to the world.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
When people persecute me.
When people persecute me.
For His name's sake.
For His name's sake.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
When they speak evil.
When they speak evil.
Against me falsely.
Against me falsely.
I rejoice.
I rejoice.
I'm exceeding glad.
I'm exceeding glad.
I'm the salt of the earth.
I'm the salt of the earth.
By my witness of Jesus.
By my witness of Jesus.
Many will be preserved alive.
Many will be preserved alive.
I am a witness.
I am a witness.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
My witness.
My witness.
Is the light of the world.
Is the light of the world.
Many will follow me.
Many will follow me.
To the light of Christ.
To the light of Christ.
Many will come out of darkness.
Many will come out of darkness.
Because they can see Christ in me.
Because they can see Christ in me.
My witness is more important.
My witness is more important.
Than getting even.
Than getting even.
My witness is what must be said on a hill.
My witness is what must be said on a hill.
For them to see.
For them to see.
I never defend myself. The Lord delivers me.
The Lord delivers me.
Out of all afflictions.
Out of all afflictions.
All of them.
All of them.
Every time.
Every time.
I never fear.
I never fear.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I have no fear of man at all.
I have no fear of man at all.
I trust the Lord.
I trust the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. I was reading a book. Sue and I had a book for a little while called Lilies Among Thorns, wasn't it, Sue? And it talked about in China, they had terrible persecution. There's still a lot of it going on right now. In a room this size. Now, you know, everybody does real good here, helping out and everything, you know, but it's cramped, right? You know, especially the nights we have nearly 50 people. I was reading that book. Now, they're under severe persecution, but they're not willing to quit having their Bible studies. They're not willing to quit coming together to praise the Lord. And in a room this size, which, for benefit of the tape, is just an average living room, 200 people. They stand shoulder to shoulder. They don't sit for 3 hours. They stand shoulder to shoulder, and they can get 200 people in there to worship God. Worship God. Praise the Lord.
Yes. It's already in Topeka, Kansas,
uh-huh,
in the very early 60s in Nashville, Tennessee, when I lived and my husband was next to the governor, and I helped this preacher build a church.
Uh-huh.
And when he retired, he went to Topeka, Kansas. And they have already now underground churches. I've been there. I've seen it. So if anybody thinks persecution isn't already here.
Yeah, it's coming, isn't it?
It's already here.
That's right. It's coming. The Bible says it's coming. And you think the devil is going to leave us alone while we have this revival? Oh, no. See? Let's do it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have power.
I have power.
I have love.
I have love.
I have a sound mind.
I have a sound mind.
I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I am a worthy soldier of Jesus Christ.
I am a worthy soldier of Jesus Christ.
I endure hardness.
I endure hardness.
I am the Lord's servant.
I am the Lord's servant.
I do not argue with people.
I do not argue with people.
I am gentle to all people.
I am gentle to all people.
As I teach them the truth.
As I teach them the truth.
I'm always the same.
I'm always the same.
In meekness I instruct those.
That oppose themselves.
My goal is that they will see.
My goal is that they will see.
The truth and repent.
The truth and repent.
My goal is to help them be free.
My goal is to help them be free.
From the snare of the devil.
From the snare of the devil.
That's why I endure.
That's why I endure.
Their persecutions to me.
Their persecutions to me.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I am His witness to the world.
I am His witness to the world.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I am blessed when people persecute me.
I am blessed when people persecute me.
For His name's sake.
For His name's sake.
I am blessed when they speak evil against me falsely.
I am blessed when they speak evil against me falsely.
I rejoice.
I rejoice.
I'm exceeding glad.
I'm exceeding glad.
I have a party.
I have a party.
It's rejoicing day.
Rejoicing day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm the salt of the earth.
I'm the salt of the earth.
By my witness of Jesus.
By my witness of Jesus.
Many will be preserved alive.
Many will be preserved alive.
I am a witness.
I am a witness.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
My witness is the light of the world.
My witness is the light of the world.
Many will follow me.
Many will follow me.
To the light of Christ.
To the light of Christ.
Many will come out of darkness.
Many will come out of darkness.
Because they see Christ in me.
Because they see Christ in me.
My witness is more important than getting even.
My witness is more important than getting even.
My witness is what must be set on a hill.
My witness is what must be set on a hill.
For them to see.
For them to see.
I never defend myself.
I never defend myself.
The Lord delivers me.
The Lord delivers me.
Out of all afflictions.
Out of all afflictions.
All of them.
All of them.
Every time I said.
Every time I said.
I never fear.
I never fear.
Never.
Fear.
Fear. Go away from me.
Go away from me.
I won't put up with you.
I won't put up with you.
I never fear.
I never fear.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I have no fear of man at all.
I have no fear of man at all.
I trust the Lord.
I trust the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me read you the verse, that second one from the bottom. Now, this is from the lips of our Master Himself. See, He's the one that said it. He said, this is Matthew 5, verses 11 through 14. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Do you see where I got that?
Yeah.
Have a party. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Do y'all remember what happened with Peter? And I forget who's with him, but after the lame man at the gate beautiful was healed, and they brought him in and they beat him and sent him back out, and they went back and they were rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is talking about. He said, have a party, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. I should have put that on there. Say, great is my reward in heaven.
That's why I have a party.
They're just making me richer. Well, they are. Hallelujah. If you endure it. Did you notice Peter and who was it?
John.
Peter and John didn't lay some kind of traps, and they didn't wait in alleys with brick bats to hit those guys, you know, later on, you know, burn their houses down and get even. They just endured it, didn't they? Endure it. That's how you get the reward. Okay? He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. See, do y'all understand that every time you preach the gospel, every time any of you tell a friend, a neighbor, anybody about the gospel, you're a prophet. You're speaking forth the word of God. What do you think prophets are? And you're really prophesying to them if you don't receive the Lord. It's believe or perish. There's no other way. Jesus is the only way. And they'll say, no, I'm a Buddhist. I believe in Buddhism. You're going to perish.
Yeah.
If you keep saying that, I'm going to beat you up. You can start beating. Start beating, because the truth is, sir, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
It's Him or perish. You know? Same thing with all of them. You know? But He says, if they persecute you, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It preserves. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's not good for anything. It's to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. But you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. What he means by that is your witness for Jesus, your stand for the gospel, needs to be the highest thing in your life. It's more important to you than your house. It's more important to you than your money. It's more important to you than your ego. It's more important to you than anything. It's more important to you than your life. It is your life. Set it on a hill. It needs to be high and lifted up, your witness. It's the number one thing Jesus is interested in. Hallelujah. One more time. We got time. One more. God has not given me a spirit of fear.
God has not given me a spirit of fear.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have the Holy Spirit.
I have power.
I have power.
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 I have love.
I have love.
I have a sound mind.
I have a sound mind.
I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
I endure hardness.
I endure hardness.
I am the Lord's servant.
I am the Lord's servant.
I don't argue with people.
I don't argue with people.
I am gentle to all people.
I am gentle to all people.
All people.
All people.
Persecutors.
Persecutors.
Good people.
Good people.
Bad people.
Bad people.
Ugly people.
Ugly
Good-looking people.
Good-looking people.
Why are you getting quieter? Rich people.
Rich people.
Poor people.
Poor people.
I'm gentle to all people.
I'm gentle to all people.
Even when they're beating me up for the gospel's sake.
Even when they're beating me up for the gospel's sake.
I am gentle.
I am gentle.
With them.
With them.
Ouch. I lost my place. I am gentle to all people as I teach them the truth.
I am gentle to all people as I teach them the truth.
I am always the same.
I am always the same.
In meekness I instruct those.
In meekness I instruct those.
That oppose themselves.
That oppose themselves.
My goal.
My goal.
Is that they will see the truth.
Is that they will see the truth.
And repent.
And repent.
My goal.
My goal
is to help them be free.
Is to help them be free.
From the snare of the devil.
From the snare of the devil.
That's why I endure.
That's why I endure.
Their persecutions to me.
Their persecutions to me.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I live godly in Christ Jesus.
I am His witness to the world.
I am His witness to the world.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I am not surprised when I'm persecuted.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
When people persecute me.
When people persecute me.
For His name's sake.
For His name's sake.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
When they speak evil.
When they speak evil.
Against me falsely.
Against me falsely.
I rejoice.
I rejoice.
I'm exceeding glad.
I'm exceeding glad.
They spoke ugly about me.
They spoke ugly about me.
And I'm happy.
I'm happy.
I rejoice.
I rejoice.
Yeah, I want y'all to get that part.
Yeah.
Don't start talking ugly back.
Yeah.
They spoke. Someone comes and, you're ugly, and your mother dresses you funny. And David goes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, for the gospel's sake, you know.
Amen.
They come and they say, we don't believe in your Jesus, and we think you're a kook. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. More reward. They're just piling it on up there, aren't they, Lord? Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, yeah. At that point, they give you this, like Norval was doing that look. They sit out there going, huh? They don't know what to think about that.
I rejoice.
I'm exceeding glad.
I'm the salt of the earth.
By my witness of Jesus.
By my witness of Jesus.
Many will be preserved alive.
Many will be preserved alive.
I am a witness.
I am a witness.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
That Jesus Christ lives in me.
My witness is the light of the world.
My witness is the light of the world.
Many will follow me to the light of Christ.
Many will follow me to the light of Christ.
Many will come out of darkness.
Many will come out of darkness.
Because they see Christ in me.
Because they see Christ in me.
My witness is more important than getting even.
My witness is more important than getting even.
My witness is what must be said on a hill.
My witness is what must be said on a hill.
For them to see.
For them to see.
My witness is more important than my car.
My witness is more important than my car.
My witness is more important than my house.
My witness is more important than my house.
My witness is more important than my ego.
My witness is more important than my ego.
My witness is more important than my life.
My witness is more important than my life.
The worst they can do is kill me.
The worst they can do is kill me.
But they can't kill me.
They can't kill me.
I'm already living forever.
I'm already living forever.
And that's the worst they can do.
And that's the worst they can do.
No wonder I rejoice.
No wonder I rejoice.
There's no fear.
There's no fear.
I never defend myself.
I never defend myself.
The Lord delivers me.
The Lord delivers me.
Out of all afflictions.
Out of all afflictions.
Excuse me, I didn't do that right. The Lord delivers me.
The Lord delivers me.
Out of all afflictions.
Out of all afflictions.
All of them.
All of them.
Every time.
Every time.
I never fear.
I never fear.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is with me.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
I have no fear of man at all.
I have no fear of man at all.
I trust the Lord. Now praise Him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.